Welcome into episode 186 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. The Sources Say podcast is, as always, presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two Lexington locations. That's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now is a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at justicedental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson look forward to seeing you soon. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. It is me and me only today. It is a breaking news edition of the show. I am actually driving back from the Sunday morning radio show that I do 9 a.m. to noon in Lexington. So I'm driving back home from that. And wanted to make sure that, as always, with the Sources Say podcast, we get news up as fast as possible as it's happening in terms of, you know, commitments and transfers and all that good stuff. So Kentucky receives a commitment that we all kind of been expecting for a while now. We talked about it on the last episode a couple days back. Really, ever since he took his official visit to Lexington, Adu Tiro, a three-star guard out of Pennsylvania, is a Kentucky Wildcat, announces his commitment on Mother's Day. It is also his birthday, May 8th. So congrats to him. You know, shout out to him on his birthday. And obviously, I wanted to give a special shout out to all of the mothers here on Mother's Day listening to this show. Listeners of the show, your mothers, congratulations. You know, nothing but support for your beautiful mothers on this Mother's Day, especially my mom. She is the absolute best. Nothing but grateful for everything that she's done over the years and all the support and love that she's given me. Can't go another step further without giving a shout out to all of the BBN moms today on this beautiful Mother's Day, especially mine. Thank you, Mom. Love you, Mom. But I wanted to make sure that we got this show recorded today as fast as possible, immediately following the news dropping that Adu Tiro is a Kentucky Wildcat. It's news that we've been anticipating for the last, ever since his official visit to Kentucky. I interviewed him shortly afterward. It was nothing but praise. Everything went well. They checked off all the boxes that we were looking for, and he decided to make it official. He wanted to announce on Mother's Day, wanted to announce on his birthday. It is now official. Adu Tiro is a Kentucky Wildcat. What does that mean? And that's something that I think Kentucky fans have kind of been going back and forth about it because, again, he is a three-star, just got moved up to three-star status in the last couple of weeks, really since, I guess it's fair to say, as soon as it became clear that he was going to commit to Kentucky, he got bumped up to three-star status by a couple of the ranking systems, unranked still by some others. But look, this is a high-quality role player bench addition to a team, a long-term developmental piece that Kentucky fans have been kind of begging for a very long time. Guys that, you know, will come in and kind of earn their keep and really try to, you know, work their way into the rotation however they can, kind of a grinded out type guy. That's who Adu Tiro is, and that's what Kentucky fans have been wanting for a long time, and that's exactly what they're getting. He's a three-star kid. Very, very productive player out of Quaker Valley in Pennsylvania. Led his team, clearly the best player on that team, led him to the 4A state championship game where John Calipari went to go see him in person, scored 18 points of that game. Very impressive performance in front of Coach Cal. He followed, you know, they set up an in-home visit there that same weekend. Cal offers a scholarship in person with Almami Tiro, who used to play for Cal at Memphis. It was a legacy recruit for Coach Cal. Adu's mother also was a 2006 draftee for the WNBA draft. So basketball bloodline. His father was a 6'7", 7 foot big man, played for Cal in the early 2000s. So a legacy recruit for him. Like that addition from that standpoint, just somebody that Cal wanted to kind of bring in and kind of groom him a little bit as a long-term rotational piece, a guy that could kind of work his way in. talking to people that have been following his game, know his game very, very well. Adu is kind of a defensive-minded, grinded-out type guy. Long, grew from 5'7" to 6'5" over the course of his high school career. I think 6 inches alone in the last year alone. I think he's now up to 6'5", pushing 6'6". From the people I talk to, say that he could even grow more. Like I said, his dad was, you know, 6'11", 7 foot center for Memphis. So clearly the you know, DNA is there for you know, some further growth from there. Could be a 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", even guard, you know, bigger, taller guard that Cal likes so much. I think that's who he's going to be. Talking to him this past week, I said, you know, what's that role that Cal is kind of penciling you in? What does he see you as right now? What would you like to be at Kentucky? And he said, you know, to be totally honest, I don't know. I don't really have a role right now. Cal kind of said, he just wants to get me in, see what I can be. Let's grow together. Let's see how much you can develop and you know, really see what your body does. See how much you grow. See what you know, what you like to be. Definitely a long-term kind of project, developmental piece for Kentucky fans. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, how Cal uses his scholarships, the fact that he doesn't use enough of them. You know, his rotation is 6, 7, 8 players, especially toward the end of the year. Why bring in a guy that he really has no plan of playing early? Does this mean he's going to change his philosophy on how many players he's going to play? You know, all those questions are kind of apparent right now. And I don't know if those answers are clear quite yet about how he's going to be used and how, you know, early he's going to be used. I think that's still very much up in the air. But I do think it's very interesting that Cal, you know, went out of his way to take a chance on this kid. There was a lot of talk when that visit happened, when the offer was publicized. He put that out there. A couple of people that I talked to in the Northeast kind of thought, I don't think that this is a real offer. I think it's kind of a you know, publicity thing, you know, a good PR move, a favor to you know, their camp, just because you know, his kind of a late blooming type player, Cal wanting to do his, you know, former player a service and, you know, get some late interest, late spark, you know, high majors for this kid. And as predicted, Pitt comes in offers, Cincinnati comes in and offers, a lot of schools like that, Xavier, they come in and go, well, if, you know, Cal wants this kid, then clearly I need to be liking this kid too. So that was kind of my initial thought when it happened was, you know, maybe something happens here. We got to see if a visit actually happens to see what the level of interest really is. But look, it happened. The visit happened. There's clearly something that Cal likes about this kid. And I certainly like him a lot. You know, he averaged 20 plus points per game as a senior at Quaker Valley. You know, very, very well-rounded player. 23 points per game, 10.3 rebounds, 5.9 assists, 3.9 steals, and 2.3 blocks per game as a senior. Shot 52% from the field, 29% from three, and 77% from the line. I love his defense. I love how active and engaged he is on that end of the floor. I definitely think he can be a high-level impact guy early from that level in particular. Kind of reminds me of Dominique Hawkins, a player that came in. Very similar situation, actually, a three-star prospect. Not a whole lot of buzz about, you know, being an early impact guy, but he kind of comes in, creates you know, a name for himself, wants to make an early mark. And, you know, how does he come in early? He goes in and he says, I'm going to be a do-it-all defender. I'm going to come in and you know, the NCAA tournament, Cal's going to take a chance on me in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to come in and lock down Nick Stauskas and help Kentucky win in the Elite Eight, go to the Final Four. I mean, like that type of stuff. I'm not saying that Adu is going to be a, you know, 5-10 minute per game, 10-15 minute per game type player from day one, but I do think that there's a chance that he could come in and make an impact, just kind of in a situational perspective, you know, kind of make an impact however he can in short order. If Kentucky needs a defensive spark, needs somebody to come in and kind of hold the line just a little bit, if foul trouble happens, think about what happened this past year. You have you know, Kellen Grady comes in, has the health issues, you know, plantar fasciitis. Ty Washington rolls his ankle. Xavier Wheeler deals with the injuries that he goes through. Because of that, Kellen Grady on two kind of bum ankles, bum feet, has to come and play 40 minutes a game. And it just wasn't what you want from just a depth perspective. That's kind of what this move feels like. It feels like just a depth move on Cal's end where you go, okay, what can you provide us from day one? What can you kind of, can you just be that high floor guy that you know you're going to come in and you're going to give us something? Just figure out a way to give us something early and however often it needs to be. I think that's definitely going to be the role that Adu has early. I like that, you know, talking to him, that he said, you know, I just want to go somewhere where I can develop. I want to go to the pros. I want to be, you know, kind of a long-term development piece. And that's, you know, exactly what Kentucky fans want. A guy that's going to come in, knows exactly who he is as a player. Maybe he comes in and proves everybody wrong. Maybe he's able to do that earlier than expected, but at least he knows who he is early. He knows, look, I'm an unranked player. I just got my 3-star ranking because I committed to the University of Kentucky. Like, he understands who he is, but he's also a very confident kid. Knows, you know, that he can be a high level impact guy down the road. And I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on and something to be excited about if you are a Kentucky fan. So I like the addition. It makes you curious, you know, what does this mean moving forward for the rest of the class? Is Kentucky done adding pieces? I don't think they are. I think that Kentucky still wants to add one more piece. I think they need to add one more piece. You know, there were some people saying that, you know, the guard rotation is getting kind of full right now. I don't think that's the case at all. I think when you understand who Adu Tiro is and what his role is going to be, I definitely think that just from that perspective alone, I think that he is definitely seen as an end of bench kind of, let's see when you get here, let's see how much you grow, let's see what else you can provide before, you know, really putting a lot of expectation on him early. I still think, you know, is this going, you know, what else do they add from that wing perspective, from that wing position? You already add Antonio Reeves. You're still waiting on Shaedon Sharpe. Nothing new on Shaedon Sharpe. We're still waiting on a final decision from there. I'm still not super optimistic that he's coming back, but, you know, bigger surprises have happened. We'll see. That his draft range is still all over the place, depending on who you talk to. You know, some people think that he's in the 12 to 14 range, but if that's the case, I definitely think that there's a bigger chance that he comes back. Other people, NBA people that I've talked to said, look, I don't see how a team is able to pass on a you know, three-level scorer like that, a 6'5" player with a 7-foot wingspan who can score the way he can at all three levels, who can go dunk on somebody's head, pure athlete. You know, I don't know how, you know, people I've talked to said, I don't know how Cal would be, or an NBA team would be able to pass on that in the first several picks, you know, top 5, top 6, top 7 range. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. We have until June 1st for that final decision, so definitely something to keep an eye on there. But I think Cal, if you're in John Calipari's shoes, you got to continue to find contingency plans. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what guys that have those fringe first round grades that, you know, are wanting to go pro, but maybe right on the cusp of that, not ready to, you know, the draft grade that they're receiving isn't the best. Look, there's a lot of players that want to be first round picks, but there's only 30 first round picks. So if you're not in that range, you look at a guy like Patrick Baldwin, who is, you know, exploring his options. He wants to stay in the draft, but if, you know, that's not what his draft grade is right now, I don't know how he can look at the situation and not think, you know, he already put his name in the transfer portal, so he's already thinking about his other options in case that doesn't work out. But if, you know, the NBA gives him a draft grade of, you know, early second round, he could go to a Kentucky and fill in that Shaedon Sharpe role. You need a guy. He, you know, didn't have a great first year. It was a poor fit. He dealt with some injury issues in year one at Milwaukee. But that could be a dude that he came in as a clear lottery pick out of high school. He was a top 5 recruit. Kentucky wanted him bad. He ends up staying home, wants to play for his dad. His dad is no longer the head coach there. That's why he puts his name in the portal. And it's not even necessarily him in particular, but guys like that who are trying to decide what they want. They still have a couple more weeks until that June 1st deadline to pull their name out of the draft. again, there's only 30 first round picks, and there are a whole lot more players that think that they're first round draft picks that are you know, have their name in the testing the draft waters, who are also exploring the transfer portal. So I still think that there are still some intriguing options out there for Kentucky, assuming Shaedon Sharpe does leave. So I love the addition of Adu Tiro. I think that he can be kind of a plug and play, spark plug off the bench type guy, but only for 5, maybe 10 minutes a game. Not a guy that's going to come in and be a big time contributor from day one. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he comes in and he's an instant impact guy for longer than short spurts, but I definitely think he's more of a role player, kind of plug and play situational type player. But again, most national championship teams in recent years, they had rotations of 7, 8, 9 man rotations, sometimes even 10 man rotations. That's kind of how you need depth in that time. That's when people are banged up. That's when people are tired and exhausted and fatigued. That is when you need rotational depth, and that's exactly who Adu Tiro is. So let's just kind of understand who he is and the importance that he could bring to this team while also kind of managing expectations. I definitely think that's probably the best way to look for it. So that wraps up this show. Again, I just wanted to make sure that we got something up as soon as possible, on this beautiful Mother's Day. I know everybody's going to be, celebrating with your parent, your mother. Hopefully, you don't even have to listen to this show because you're spending so much time with your mom. But I just, I know Kentucky fans are crazy for content at times. And I wanted to make sure we could get this up in a timely manner, so the fans that wanted to hear about this commitment would be able to. Doesn't replace our normal shows. We're still going to have our longer, more in-depth shows talking about this commitment, what it means moving forward, things like that throughout the week. But I just wanted to make sure that we had had some news to break. So special shout out to my mom on this Mother's Day. Grateful for everything, all the continued blessings over the years. Couldn't do any of this without you. Shout out to all the other moms that are listening to this show, listeners that have special mothers in their life. Shout out to each and every one of you guys. That wraps up this edition of the Sources Say podcast. We'll be back next time for the jam-packed edition. We will see you then.